Sighs from Hell, or the Groans of a Lost Soul, Chapter 1. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Luke 16:19-31. This scripture was not spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ to show you the state of two single persons only, as some through ignorance of the drift of Christ in his parables do dream, but to show you the state of the godly and ungodly to the world's end, as is clear to him that is of an understanding heart. For he spake them to the end that after generations should take notice thereof, and fear lest they also fall into the same condition. Now in my discourse upon these words I shall not be tedious, but as briefly as I may I shall pass through the several verses and lay you down some of the several truths contained therein, and the Lord grant that they may be profitable and of great advantage to those that read them or hear them read. The first two or three verses of the parable I shall not spend much time upon, only give you three or four short hints, and so pass to the next verses, for they are the words I do intend most especially to insist upon. The verses run thus. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, etc. If these verses had been spoken by Jesus Christ, and no more, all the world would have been apt to have cast a wrong interpretation upon them. I say, if Jesus had said only this much, there was a certain rich man which fared sumptuously daily, and a certain beggar laid at his gates full of sores, the world would have made this conclusion of them: the rich man was the happy man. For at first view it doth represent such a thing. But take all together, that is, read the whole parable, and you shall find that there is no man in a worse condition than he, as I shall clearly hold forth afterward. Again, if a man would judge of men according to outward appearance, he shall ofttimes take his mark amiss. Here is a man who to outward appearance appears the only blessed man, better by half than the beggar, inasmuch as he is rich, the beggar poor. He is well clothed, but peradventure the beggar is naked. He hath good food, but the beggar would be glad of dog's meat, and he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The rich man fares well every day, but the beggar must be glad of a bit when he can get it. Oh, who would not be in a rich man's estate? A wealthy man, sorts of new suits and dainty dishes every day, enough to make one who minds nothing but his belly and his back and his lusts to say, "Oh, that I were in that man's condition! Oh, that I had things about me as that man has! Then I should live a life indeed. Then should I have heart's ease, good store. Then I should live pleasantly and might say to my soul, 'Soul, be of good cheer. Eat, drink, and be merry.' Luke 12:19, and thou hast everything plenty, and art in a most blessed condition. I say, this might be the conclusion with them that judge according to outward appearance. But if the whole parable be well considered, you will see that which is had in high estimation with men is an abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:15. And again, that condition which is the saddest condition according to outward appearance is oft times the most excellent. Job 16 verses 20 to 22. For the beggar had 10,000 degrees, the best of it, though to outward appearance his state was the saddest. From whence we shall observe thus much. First, that those who judge according to outward appearance do for the most part judge amiss. John 7:24. Second, that they who look upon their outward enjoyments to be tokens of God's special grace to them are also deceived. Revelation 3:17. For as it is here in the parable, a man of wealth and a child of the devil may make but one person, or a man may have abundance of outward enjoyments and yet be carried by the devils into eternal burning. Luke 16:23. But this is the trap in which the devil hath caught many thousands of poor souls, namely by getting them to judge according to outward appearance or according to God's outward blessings. But do but ask a poor, carnal, covetous wretch how he should know a man to be in a happy estate, and he will answer, those that God blesseth and giveth abundance of this world to, when, for the most part, they are the cursed men. Alas, poor men, they are so ignorant as to think that because a man is increased in outward things, and that by a small stock, therefore God doth love that man with a special love, or else he would never do so much for him, never bless him so, and prosper the works of his hands. Ah, poor soul, it is the rich man that goes to hell. And the rich man died, and in hell, Mark, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Methinks to see how the great ones of the world will go strutting up and down the streets sometimes, it makes me wonder. Surely they look upon themselves to be the only happy men, but it is because they judge according to outward appearance. They look upon themselves to be the only blessed men when the Lord knows the generality of such are left out of that blessed condition. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Ah, did they that do now so brag that nobody dares scarce look on them but believe this, it would make them hang down their heads and cry, oh, give me a Lazarus's portion. I might here enlarge very much, but I shall not. Only this much I shall say to you that have much of this world. Have a care that you have not your portion in this world. Take heed that it be not said to you hereafter, when you would very willingly have heaven, remember in your lifetime you had your good things. In your lifetime you had your portion. Psalm 17, verse 14. And friend, thou that seekest after this world and desirest riches, let me ask this question. Wouldest thou be content that God should put thee off with a portion in this life? Wouldest thou be glad to be kept out of heaven with a back well clothed and a belly well filled with the dainties of this world? Wouldst thou be glad to have all thy good things in thy lifetime, to have thy heaven to last no longer than while thou dost live in the world? Wouldst thou be willing to be deprived of eternal happiness and felicity? If thou say no, then have a care of the world and thy sins. Have a care of desiring to be a rich man, lest thy table be made a snare to thee. Psalm 64, verse 22. Lest the wealth of this world do bar thee out of glory. For as the apostle saith, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. Thus much in general, but now particularly, these two men here spoken of, as I said, do hold forth to us the state of the godly and ungodly. The beggar holdeth forth the godly, and the rich man the ungodly. But why, under the notion of a rich man, are the ungodly held forth? First, because Christ would not have them look too high, as I said before, but that those who have riches would have a care that they be not all their portion. James 1, 10-12, 1 Timothy 4, verse 17. Second, because rich men are most liable to the devil's temptations, are most ready to be puffed up with pride, stoutness, and cares of this world, in which things they spend most of their time, in lusts, drunkenness, wantonness, idleness, together with other works of the flesh, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Colossians 3, verse 6. Third, because he would comfort the hearts of his own, which are most commonly of the poorer sort. For God hath chosen the poor, despised, and base things of this world. 1 Corinthians 1:28. Should God have set the rich man in the blessed state, his own children would have concluded, being poor, that they had no share in the life to come. Fourth, and again, had not God given such a discovery of the sad condition of those that are for the most part rich men, we should have had men conclude absolutely that the rich are the blessed men. Nay, though the Lord himself doth so evidently declare that the rich ones of the world are for the most part in the saddest condition, yet they, through unbelief or else presumption, do harden themselves and seek for the glory of this world, as though the Lord Jesus Christ did not mean as he said, or else that he will say more than shall assuredly come to pass. But let them know that the Lord hath a time to fulfill what he had a time to declare, for the scripture cannot be broken. John 10, verse 35. Fifth, but observe, the Lord by his word doth not mean those are ungodly who are rich in the world, and no other. For then must all those that are poor, yet graceless and vain men, be saved, and delivered from eternal vengeance, which would be contrary to the word of God, which saith that together with the kings of the earth and the great men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, there are bondmen or servants and slaves that cry out at the appearance of the Almighty God and his Son Jesus Christ to judgment. Revelation 6, verse 15. So that though Christ doth say, there was a certain rich man, yet you must understand he meaneth all the ungodly, rich or poor. Nay, if you will not understand it so now, you shall be made to understand it to be so meant at the day of the coming Christ's second coming, when all that are ungodly shall stand at the left hand of Christ with pale faces and guilty consciences, with the vials of the Almighty's wrath ready to be poured out upon them. Thus much in brief touching this verse. I might have observed other things from it, but now I forbear, having other things to speak of at this time.